This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Fellas, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And we're playing the theme from Goodfellas. You remember that movie? Great movie. Ray Liotta, widely known for his role in that Martin Scorsese film, has died. And it was kind of shocking to me. He wasn't that old. He was only 67 years old. He died in his sleep in the Dominican Republic. He was filming a movie called Dangerous Waters. They say that there's no foul play suspected. But it's a real shock, you know. I remember him from all kinds of movies. Field of Dreams, remember that movie? He's been in a lot of great movies. He was a good actor. So we wanted to play a little bit of that in tribute to Ray Liotta. In the meantime, we are going to be talking in a few minutes here on Freedom Works with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk to him about how the National Labor Relations Board struck out when it tried to penalize an employer for a joke that he made to his workers. Wait till you hear it. Very interesting. And the National Rifle Association, talk about bad timing. They're getting ready to host their annual convention in Houston right after that school tragedy down there at the border in Texas. So, bad timing? Yes, it certainly seems to be. But we're going to get some thoughts on whether it should even proceed at this point, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later. So stay tuned for that, please. And the John Durham case, you know, the case against the Hillary Clinton lawyer, Michael Sussman, the guy that ran to the FBI and to the media saying that Trump was in collusion with the Russians, knowing that it was a rumor. Well, that case just got tougher for John Durham. We're going to tell you why a little bit later. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 dumbest dogs, okay? The dumbest dogs. I want to find out if any of us have had the top 10 dumbest dogs. Ed, are you a dog lover? Have you ever had? I think you've had. I know you have. You've had dogs. Do you think possibly you might have had a dumb dog?
I have two Cocker Spaniels. I know they're not on that list. And okay. And other than that, I've had a Lab. And the Lab are one of the smartest dogs.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, they are. Consistently smart, yeah.
You know, you get those little rat dogs I don't like. But.
The rat dog. You like a bigger dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much on that, my friend. In the meantime, I want to remind you, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I say this over and over again. I've never found a better place to get a haircut. Why? Number one, I like the people there. So that's personal. Number two, it's clean. Number three, they're good. Boy, the experience they have. Everything works. But you know what's I don't mention all the time? The price is so good, too. And when you're a senior, it's even better. Now, it's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Very, very easy to get to. And by the way, they are open Tuesday through Saturday. Call for your appointment, guys, 727-733-3773. And a tip of the hat, by the way, to Senior Voice America. That's the show just before ours. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger, and company. They're on Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. 8 to 10 a.m. Got to listen to them. They're good. All right. So we've got this NRA convention. It's being hosted in Houston, Texas. But, of course, we've got everybody now talking about that horrible school tragedy at the Texas border town. And it was a monstrous thing. I can't imagine, and you can't imagine, nobody can imagine what it is like to lose your 6, 7, 8-year-old child who went to school. There's just no way we can understand it. And I hope no one ever has to that's listening to us right now. But Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York has blocked a school safety bill Republicans have brought up. And I have, for the life of me, I can't figure out why he would block it. After this Texas shooting, Senator Ron Johnson, he's a Republican from Wisconsin, asked for a bill. They call it the Luke and Alex School Safety Act. And Luke and Alex were two students at the Parkland, Florida shooting. Remember that? Which was, what, God, 10 years ago now. The time has flown. So what does Schumer do? He shoots it down. He said that, quote, we'd see more guns in school. I don't know how he means that, we would see more guns. Unless he means that there would be security people with guns. Those are the people you want to have the guns. Because if some nut comes running into the classroom with a gun, how are you going to stop him? You're not going to stop him by talking him to drop his weapon. You got to shoot the guy. Okay, so that's where that goes. And here's what Schumer then said regarding this bill. He said the truth is there were officers at the school in Texas. No, there weren't. When that guy went in there, there were no officers at the school. And it took them an hour to get into the building. So I don't know what he's talking about. Schumer says the shooter got past them. The shooter walked in a side door and walked right into the classroom. There was no security guard there at all. There was no policeman that I know of. And then Schumer says we need real solutions. The only way you're going to stop people from walking into a classroom is to lock the doors and have people with guns that are security people in there. I mean, what are we going to do? You're not going to stop guns from being created or sold in this country. This country was founded on guns. If we didn't have guns, we would have lost the war to the British. They had guns. So you're not going to take the guns away. It's a tradition in this country. Craziness, you know? So, of course, it's politics. Why would Schumer block the bill? Why would he block that bill? I'm still trying to figure it out. Schumer then said the legislation could be considered if Republicans agreed to debate the domestic terrorism bill. Oh, the domestic terror. In other words, the white racist bill. Is that the one you're talking about, Mr. Schumer? So you want to couple that with protecting kids with security people in a school? Are you nuts? This guy, does he really care about the kids? That's what I'm beginning to wonder. I don't think so. Senator Rick Scott, our beloved Rick Scott here in Florida, Senator, he said, Schumer is a liar and a hack. I guess that sums it up. All right, let us take our break. Looking forward to this. We're going to be talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about how the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, struck out when it tried to find an employer for a joke to coworkers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Friday. Thank you very much for being with us. And we're delighted to have back Sean Higgins, an old friend. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, specializing in things like labor and employment. And we're going to talk to him about something you probably have not heard about, but the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, tried to fine, or I guess did fine, penalize, the Federalist. It's a conservative organization. They have a website. They tried to fine the publisher of the Federalist, Ben Domenech, for, quote, threatening his website's employees. Apparently, he made some sort of a joke regarding, well, let's just read what he said. He tweeted this to his employees. He said, "For your information, the first one of you who tries to unionize, I swear I'll send you back to the salt mine." So everybody apparently knew it was a joke there, Sean, except the NLRB. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, this was an interesting case because it has actually long been the NLRB's position that any comment by an employer that can be construed as a threat to workers to organize is illegal and actionable. Now, typically, there has to be a complaint by a worker based on this, but it is allowed for a third party to also sort of intervene and file a complaint based on the statement. And that's what happened in this case, because Ben Domenech is a prominent conservative pundit, and he did this on Twitter. The tweet got a lot of attention. A lot of unions and labor officials and liberals simply pointed out, this is illegal, you can't say this type of stuff. And Domenech was unimpressed by that, said, so what? And so a labor attorney basically filed a complaint with the NLRB stating he made an illegal threat to his employees, and the NLRB acted on it. And in the interesting thing is, this was back when the NLRB actually had a Republican majority under President Trump. They were generally considered, leaning or not pro-union in a sort of aggressive sense. But this was a long-standing standard that you couldn't do this. And now, typically, what they do is they give the employer the opportunity to sort of disavow the comment and eat some crow, and then they allow the thing to go away in these situations. But Domenech refused. He said, no, what I said was clearly a joke. I have a First Amendment right to do this type of stuff, and challenged it. And I was skeptical that he could actually win this, but he took it to appeals court, and the appeals court said, yeah, this is a joke, and you guys should lighten up a little bit.
My God, common sense, actually, in a courtroom. That's pretty surprising. It says here that he tweeted this to seven employees, all of them knowing it was a joke. So somebody else comes along and says, well, even though you all know it's a joke, and he didn't, I mean, I can see so many things that are wrong with this. First of all, just having the NLRB, you can argue about whether or not it's a good thing. But to go after somebody for a speech comment, that's another thing. I don't know. It just seems like, what a waste of time to be, also, you know? I mean, all kinds of things wrong with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's admittedly a bit of a gray area in terms of First Amendment issues, but it's considered to be something along the lines of, a person threatening the life of the president. it's not really a First Amendment issue if it's a threat in this nature, and therefore it's illegal and actionable. At least that was the standard until this court case. The idea is that basically the employer is, even if they say afterwards, I was just joking, that's not really a defense, because you can, if you're an employer, you could say, I'm going to fire anybody who tries to form a union, just kidding, and then the workers might think, well, is he kidding or not? So that's the idea. And the idea behind allowing a third party to do this is in case the workers are, in fact, too intimidated.
Right.
An activist or something like that.
But at some point, when they all say, you know, that they knew it was a joke. First of all, there are no salt mines, the last I looked, at the Federalist. He stopped investing in salt mines a few years ago, so they could not be sent to the salt mine. So you can't take it literally, right? And, I mean, when you get to the point where you can't make a joke to your workers, this is speech that is being impeded upon, and common sense has to come into this too. It just seems like it's a waste of time. Is the NLRB, let me ask you this, Sean, is the NLRB, in your opinion, because you know so much more about it, has it been an effective tool? Has it helped things overall, do you think, down through the years?
It does serve an actual purpose. I mean, it is the agency that basically oversees the elections and recognizes individual unions. And, you know, it's basically the NLRB is the one that hosts the elections. In other words, ordinarily, the union says we have the support of all the workers, and the business owner can say, okay, I agree, we'll sit down and hammer out a contract. Or the business owner can say, I call shenanigans, I don't think you actually have the support. And they'll have an election, and the NLRB is the one that comes in and hosts the election. They're essentially the third party that does this.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they actually do a good job in that as far as it goes. Now, they have other sort of legal and enforcement responsibilities, and like any, enforcement agency, they sometimes get a bit pedantic about these type of things, and as the old joke goes, it's technically correct, the best kind of correct.
Yeah. And going back to Dominic, so he spends money in court. Does he get his money back? Does he, the time, the energy? And when the appeals court says, yeah, this is a joke, forget it. In the meantime, you spend all of this money and lawyers get paid. But you know what I mean? It's a waste of money, too, as well as a waste of time. Somebody's got to pay the piper for that.
Dominic was assisted by a legal organization that exists that challenges this type of
stuff. Okay.
Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
And they worked pro bono or whatever on this one?
I couldn't tell you the precise details.
No problem.
They were working with him. But so I don't think he's out much money. I mean, certainly in terms of like taxpayer money, because the NLRB is a government agency, so that was spent to do this. Court time was spent. I mean, it was a waste generally of money and energy in the general sense. I don't think Ben is too badly put out by this.
No.
I don't know, actually.
No. And in general, of course, it's just chicken feed to begin with, but it is kind of a waste of time, But you do feel that the NLRB overall has been a help. I mean, there's always been this clash between unions and companies. I mean, going back to the very early days, there was a definite need for people to organize because they were treated badly. And we did get out of these kinds of organizations, we did get better working conditions. There's no question about that as well. But at some point, it seems like unions went over the line and started to actually suppress effective working, whether it was with teachers or whether it was with steel mill or whether it was you name it, right? So that was the thing. And so does the NLRB kind of, it tries to strike a balance?
Well, in theory, yeah. I mean, in reality, it depends on who has been nominated to run it and what their agenda is. Under the current administration, they've put a bunch of very adamantly pro-union people in charge, so it's drifting in that direction now. I mean, what we need in all these things is for the workers to be fully informed about what their rights are and what the responsibilities are and what the consequences are. And the problem is, while there's a lot of ability for the unions to sort of say whatever they want to get their message out, businesses are oftentimes very restricted in what they can say. This, you know, you can't make a threat thing has been very broadly construed and applied there. And the reason this was a significant issue is because it severely restricts what a lot of businesses can say, because anything that can be construed as a threat, and the standard is, can a worker theoretically construe it as a threat, not was it an actual threat, not what the intent of this statement was. So this is this court decision is basically a blow to the NLRB to say, no, you have to be a bit more realistic and take into account the circumstances involved in this, because, as you noted at the beginning of this thing, Dominic's is the publisher of this publication, but it only has 7 employees. They all know each other. They're conservatives like him. They weren't making any effort to form a union. So take the idea that this was an attempt to sort of suppress their right to form a union is kind of ridiculous.
There's only 7 people that work there?
At the time this took place, I don't know what the number is right now.
Okay.
In the relevant period, this was only 7. There were only 7.
And it was done during the Trump administration. So why is the NLRB at that point? Does the president what say does the president have in who makes up the NLRB when he comes into office? Can he look at the NLRB and say, okay, we're going to get rid of you. You can stay. I mean, how does that work?
They don't serve at the pleasure of the president in the way other sort of agencies do. They're an independent agency. The president does nominate the people who serve on the board, and I believe they nominate the general counsel as well.
Okay.
Basically runs things on a day-to-day basis. They serve for fixed periods of time. Traditionally, it's a 5-member board. The president puts 3 members of their own party to give a majority, and everything is done by simple majority, and 2 seats are reserved for the minority party. However, that's just tradition. There's no actual law that says it has to be that way.
Got it. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He's an old buddy. We've had him on a lot over the years. He's a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he knows things about labor and employment. So, Sean, with the employment, I'll just ask you in general about what's going on these days with the employment numbers, trying to get people to get back to work, and with the remnants of COVID and everything else, are we moving? Is it a positive movement as far as employment goes? We've got all of these costs associated with our inflation situation and all of the other things, but are we coming out of this a little bit? What do you think?
We're coming out of it in some ways, certainly in the employment numbers. We're back to just right about where things were when the COVID thing hit. The problem is, as you point out, we also have inflation now. And this is something that we haven't really had much of in the last 2 decades, frankly. And it's hitting some people really hard. And a lot of this is the consequence of all the money that was pumped into the economy to sort of keep things going while COVID was happening and people weren't working. It was simple, old-fashioned economics 101 inflationary situation. There's a lot of money chasing, a few things because there weren't as many people working, and now we're sort of paying the price for that. So while on the one hand more people are back to work and getting out there, they're now suffering from the problem that they're just not taking as much home, or the money that they are taking home is being eroded in its value, which is not good.
Yeah, and I'm old enough to remember Jimmy Carter's presidency. This malaise thing, it's a strong malaise we got right now. What about a recession? I mean, does it look to you like we're in one right now or moving into it?
I don't think we're in one right now. The possibility exists. Knock on wood, I don't want it to happen. I mean, I live and work in this economy like everybody else, and I don't need that. And I hope, I'm certain your listeners don't either.
Oh, God, yeah.
Be prepared. I mean, it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't even know when you're in it, right?
that is the thing with recessions. You don't actually know what's going on with them until after the fact.
Until after the fact, you're right.
It's technically possible that we're in one now. We just don't have all the data yet.
Okay, Sean, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for coming on, and I look forward to our next chat.
Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the National Rifle Association, could the timing be worse? They're in Houston with their annual convention right after this horrible shooting at the border in Texas. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, thank you very much for listening to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We're in the B block, are we not, of our show? We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And so Texas Governor Greg Abbott has canceled his plan to be over at the National Rifle Association's annual meeting. It's held this weekend in Houston. He will appear on video. He's going to go over to Uvalde, Texas, where the kids were mowed down by that other, by that 18-year-old nut. But he'll deliver his remarks in a pre-recorded video to the conference. In the meantime, I think Joe Biden is planning on showing up at that school, which is right on the border. I'm wondering if he'll wander over to the border while he is there. Take a peek. You know, he never has been to the border, ever, in his, what is it, almost 40 years torturing us from Washington. The guy's never been to the border. We've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, if you were the governor of Texas, like Greg Abbott, and you had this situation going on, would you show up at the NRA annual convention in person?
Paul, if it was a commitment I made, yes, I would.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can't change your beliefs because of an incident that happened that wasn't caused by a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was caused by a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I made the commitment, you got to follow through with your beliefs. You can't say, well, I believe one thing and do another.
Well, he wants to go over to that school, and you can understand that.
I can understand that, too.
Sure.
I can't wait to hear Joe Biden calls this kid a white supremacist.
Oh, boy.
Like did the one in Buffalo, huh? I don't think he can.
I don't think you can call the guy down in Texas a white supremacist. He was as Hispanic as he can be.
Exactly. So you won't hear a word about that.
Well, actually, and we know this, that there are serial killings involving every size, shape, and race. The only consistency is it's a guy. I don't know that there's ever been a woman that's, maybe you can correct me. Has there ever been a woman that has committed serial murder? Ever. That we can think of. Isn't that interesting, though? Think about it.
How about the Black Widow?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
After another, right?
Okay. Now, that was not, I guess what I meant when I said serial murder, I should have said
Mass murder,
where they go in and try to take out as many.
Paul,
yeah.
You know what really amazes me about that whole incident is the police waited 45 minutes to go in, Paul.
You are right. Now, you know, that's... Yeah, what's going on there, by the way?
Incompetency in a police department.
Well, do you call it cowardice or incompetency?
Well, I call it both. How's that?
Yeah.
You know.
They're standing around, are they not? And the parents were begging them to go in. Now, of course, let's keep it. Remember, we're Monday morning, obviously, Monday morning quarterbacking here. We know what happened. We know there was a kid in there with a gun. These cops get over there, and they're not quite sure what's going on, right?
I understand.
But go ahead.
You know, Paul, they were talking about armed combat veterans going into the schools. And, you know, I would be totally for that as long as they had some training like a policeman does, you know, a nine-week course or whatever.
Right.
And let them go in there. Because you know why? These people have seen action. They've been shot at. I don't believe most policemen have been shot at. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
How many active police do you know that have been in the military in an active combat zone today? Probably not many.
No, it takes a lot of guts to go wandering into a situation where you don't even know what you're going into for.
But, Paul, you know what? This is the oath they take.
But to take an hour and wait, it turns out it's the National Guard? Am I not correct about that? That ends up stopping this guy?
I don't know, but all I know is...
It wasn't a cop that killed him.
It was a border patrol that went.
A border patrol. Okay, fair enough. You're right. Border patrol. What do we? And they couldn't. When you know that there's a situation, you can't stand outside. It's the shades of that situation at Parkland, isn't it? Where the security guard stood outside instead of going in, waiting for whatever to come along.
Paul, they're supposed to be trained for this.
Right. So we got a guy that wanders in to an open door. He just wanders. He jumps the fence. He shoots at somebody, apparently, before he goes in. Then he wanders down the hallway, and he wanders into a classroom, and he stays in that classroom, and he kills 22 people.
That's a shame.
Can you imagine if you were a 6, 7, or 8-year-old? Could you just imagine watching some little child you've befriended as a buddy getting killed in front of you at the age of 7 or 8. Unimaginable.
Paul, it's disgusting that it goes on in this country. And you know what, Paul? It's not the NRA people that are doing this, Paul.
That's true.
How many NRA people do you know did a mass shooting? How do you know any NRA people even shot
it? It's the NRA people that are keeping the laws. Now, they're the ones that are following the laws. And this goes back to these idiots like Schumer that... And Biden and everybody else that demands new laws. We got so many laws, nobody knows what the laws are. And the places with the most laws, the inner cities, which have the most gun laws, have the most killings.
Paul, it's our own government's fault that this is going on. Okay? They took away the rights of teachers. They took away the rights of parents. These kids have no respect. They have no fear. They got a few marbles loose. If the counselor tells somebody about it, oh, don't say nothing about this. You know, it'll cause a rift. It's our own fault, Paul.
We let it get to this.
Paul, years ago when I was in high school, we used to go hunting before school during pheasant season and deer season, okay? And, you know, we went to school with our guns in our cars.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got shot. It's these kids that are messed up. Because they do nothing but sit in front of a television, smoke dope, and play them damn video games, Paul, with all the mass murdering. And they have no responsibility in life. They have no purpose in life, and their parents let them do it.
And we talked about this, of course, on our last show, and you're making perfect sense. And we also talked about real solutions. First of all, let's be honest about it. The number of killings that are involved in shooting kids in school are infinitesimal. Now, when it happens, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But I think we talked about this, too. 22 people in every... If you total the number of people in inner cities that are killed every day, the average daily killings in the inner city in this country, 22, which comes up to over 640 or something like that per month. And why are we not? I mean, I guess we become blasé. Are those lives no less precious? Of course they're not. What? Go ahead.
An armed society is a peaceful society. If a criminal knows that a non-criminal person is packing a gun, they're going to think twice before they pull theirs out.
Absolutely right. And if that guy, that monster that knew, that went into that school with those kids, if he knew that there were security guards in there with guns, or if he thought that the teachers in those classrooms had a gun, do you think he would have gone to that school? He would have picked another school.
You know, Paul, just like a hospital. No gun zone, gun-free zone. I'm still waiting for somebody to go in there and shoot him up.
Yeah. Now, I want to get back to the NLRB, the NRA convention, because some liberals talk about the fact that, well, you know, you can't have a gun and go into the NRA convention. You can't go into the convention with a gun. And you're all hypocrites because you don't have... Well, then I'm thinking, you know, the same people that are saying that, these politicians, they're surrounded by people with guns protecting them. So this is so stupid as an argument. Of course you're not going to... You're going into a convention, you have certain rules. Go ahead. I just wanted you to comment on that.
And the certain rules, I say they should be able to carry them in there. It's the... The Secret Service, I guess, because, you know, Trump is going there. And
that's what it is.
It's crazy, yeah. They're the ones that are saying no. But, you know, I don't think, you know, Paul, honestly, supposing the nutcase does get in there, but if everybody's armed, where's he going to go?
That's true.
You pull out the gun, he's going to get blown.
So let me ask you straight out. If the president was addressing the NRA, let's say Trump was president, or Reagan or whoever, you know, people that might support the NRA, do you think all the NRA members, everybody in there should be allowed to pack? The argument would be, well, some nut got in there that maybe is not an NRA member, and he's going to try to shoot the president. I just wanted to put that.
But he wouldn't stand a chance.
Right.
Okay. Wouldn't stand a chance. And, true. You know, that's what I'm saying. An armed society is a peaceful society.
That's a good point.
No question about it. Well, what do you think about Mr. Sussman's case? The poor guy. I told you that judge was going to do something.
Well, here's the deal. And we were going to talk about it a little later. I'm going to talk about it with you right now. The Durham case against Sussman is getting tough. It's going to get tougher. The judge is indeed quashed the text message. The text message is the proof that Sussman knew that was a rumor and it wasn't a fact, that Trump was connected with the Russians. And then Sussman went to the FBI. He also, by the way, made sure that the media knew about it as well. But now the judge is going to throw out the text. He's going to throw out the text because he's going to say, when you originally brought the suit against Sussman, your suit was what he said to the FBI, not what he texted. So now we're getting into a technicality. Go ahead.
Yeah, what do you want? He's a Democrat judge appointed by Obama.
Right.
I told you that was going to happen, Paul.
Yeah. It's not just that.
I told you.
It's not just that. There are jurors on there that are that should never have gotten on there because of their connection to some of these people that are involved in this trial. So it's
right.
It's tainted.
Well, they ought to throw the judge off of the case.
I think it'll be appealed. I think it will be appealed. I think it'll be appealed if the prosecution loses. I think they will appeal it.
It's totally disgusting that in the United States of America, you got proof of a traitorous. They were traitors going against, at that time, even a president of the United States for 4 years with phony things, and they're letting them get away with it, Paul. In the old days, they would have been tarred and feathered.
Yeah. I don't know in the long run. Now, Sussman, who is, again, you know, he's an attorney that worked for Clinton. He refused to take the stand and talk about it. To me, that's your first clue that he was doing something wrong. If he was doing nothing wrong, he would want to get on the stand and explain what he was doing.
That's right.
But he didn't want to get on the stand and talk, you know, so that's your first clue. But it's a Washington. It's like when O.J. Simpson was tried in Los Angeles with 11 blacks and one Hispanic. Now you tell me. You tell me, with the state of racial relations at that time, that they were going to convict O.J. Simpson when he killed a white woman? Uh-uh. So I think we got the same, maybe the same thing here.
You know, Paul, even the people need to smarten up and say, hey, this is justice. They did wrong. I don't care if they're black, white, yellow, or pink. We don't need these type of people involved in our society. Okay?
Yep. But
the juries don't do that. They side with race. They side with what's going on. So how can you even say the justice system in this country is fair?
Yeah.
We're falling apart. At every angle you look at it, this country, we're falling apart. And that's where I tell you it's very, very, very important to study who you're voting for and these upcoming elections, because I believe there's a lot of what I call Republicrats running. And that's all we got to do is vote for these Republicans and put them in. And instead of 19 Republicrats we got in the Republican Party, now we got 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, and people can't let this slide by because there's a lot of it going on out there, and I see it personally.
Yeah, it's you do have to follow and see, you know, who are they really what they say they are? And I don't know, sometimes, you know, I'm looking at Charlie Crist as an example. There's a guy that I really thought when I first came into Florida and heard about him, I thought, well, he is a real conservative guy. Turns out he's nothing of the kind. He was completely phony.
That's it, Paul.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like I told you, I see what goes on in this race just with District 13, and I sit here and laugh.
That's a Charlie Crist, he's going to abandon that to run for governor. Uh-huh.
That's right. Now, you know, there was one candidate that accused another candidate of threatening and this and that and everything else, and there were charges put against the so-called man that supposedly did this, and he was found innocent.
And where do you go to get your reputation back? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not where you get it back. It's just that the one candidate is still saying this happened.
Oh, I see.
And this guy was innocent. Now, if he was innocent, what does that mean that the person is saying was doing?
Yeah. Okay? So it's a he said, she said kind of thing.
Well, it's a he said, she said, but when you went to court, what he said must have been the truth because
yeah.
he was found innocent.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what's making me laugh now is they're trying to twist the whole story because the attorney that defended this man is now running for Congress.
Okay.
Okay, are you getting my drift?
You're allowed to mention the names.
Okay, well, Kevin Hassel was the attorney that defended Mr. Broderick, okay?
Okay.
Against Anna Paulina, who made these accusations, and he
yeah.
was found innocent.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, who's lying here? But yet, you got this person still running for Congress, okay?
Yep.
I mean, again, you got to watch what you're voting for.
You do. You have to be very careful. There's no question about it.
I mean, I think it's disgusting what I see going on, even within the Republican Party with primary candidates.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead.
When I sit there and say I see these candidates that are running in a country like America, this is the best we got.
Yeah.
All I can say is thank God for Ron DeSantis because we picked the winner there.
We did. Ron DeSantis is going to be elected, reelected. I don't think it's going to be that close. I don't know why Charlie Crist is wasting his time trying to run for governor. Okay. Well, as always, Andrew, thanks a million, my friend. Appreciate it.
We guys have a good Memorial weekend.
You do, too. We will not be doing our show Memorial. We're going to take the day off, but I'll be talking with you again next Wednesday. God willing.
Buddy.
All right.
Later. Bye-bye.
There he goes, the master barber. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that John Durham case and the top 10 dumbest dog breeds.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you for being with us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We thank you when you can listen, but if you cannot listen live, Big Ed has put all of our programs on podcast, and all you have to do is go to our website to hear them. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, getting back to this trial against Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Michael Sussman, the judge has ruled what could be a damaging blow to the prosecution and John Durham. He says that Sussman's text message to the FBI cannot be used. Now, the text message to the FBI said on, you know, the words are there that that Trump was playing footsie with the Russians. But now they have to throw that out. And only what Sussman said the following day when he met with the general counsel at the FBI is what they can talk about. This makes no sense. The text is just as much a part of it. If Sussman lied or if Sussman said something that wasn't true, no matter if he texted it or he said it directly to them, in both cases he was contacting the FBI, why not? Let's get to the truth. It's just crazy. Okay, enough about that. Before we get to our top 10, I want to ask Ed. We're sitting back, Ed, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. And the Tampa Bay Lightning is sitting back, and I hope they're not losing their mojo here because they swept the Florida Panthers, and they're waiting for the winner of the New York Rangers and Carolina Panthers series to play in the championship of the Eastern Conference. And I'm trying to remember, last night I think the Florida Panthers won that game. So now they're tied or something like that over there? I mean, we're going to wait a while, or what's going on here?
Actually,
or am I wrong about that?
Carolina won 3-2 right now.
Oh, it's 3-2. You're right. Okay, so it's 3-2. We got to wait at least one more game.
Well, here's the thing: they're going to play games night after night until this is over. Usually, they take a couple days off.
They're playing night after night.
Yes. If this thing goes seven, yeah. If this game goes seven games, in other words, so if they play tonight and it's tied, they're going to play Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's kind of unheard of.
It is unheard of. And the goalie is, you know, the goalies get kind of, well, that'll be interesting because they usually give you 2 days.
They're going to be pretty well tired by the time they get to the Lightning.
Is there any other sports news we need to talk about?
The Rays lost to the Yankees last night. It's just normal.
That's a normal thing. Yeah. They kind of sunk down a little bit. Do you think they're...
Something's going on. I don't know what.
You're not sure what it is?
So, our boy Wonder, Wander Franco, the guy that just got a new contract, boy, he's in a slump. He's pouting, too.
Oh, we don't want that.
He was even sat down for a couple of games.
Oh, boy.
He said he might be hurt. The only thing he's hurt is his feelings. He can't hit the ball.
Oh, come on. Okay, let's shake him up a little bit here. He's getting paid a lot of money. They all are. All right. It is time for our top 10. We got a good one. It's the top 10 dumbest dogs. This comes from, by the way, newarena.com. So let's get right to it. Top 10 dumbest dogs, number 10. The Shih Tzu. Translated, by the way, is Little Lion. Did you know that that's what?
That's one of them little yappy dogs.
Legendary dogs bred for thousands of years in China. They might just walk all over you if you let them. They don't care what you think of them.
Come here, you little Shih Tzu.
Number 9. This is a bigger dog, the English Mastiff. They were originally used in blood sports to fight other beasts.
They're big dogs.
Like
Jesus.
Lions or bulls, they are. They're
huge. They're like 175 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
Massive dog.
They can be stubborn and difficult to train. The best way to expect their compliance is to hold consistent and short training sessions. All right. Number 8. The Basset Hound. You know the one with the droopy ears and all that?
Roar, roar.
They are known for being of low intelligence due to how long it may take them to understand a command.
They just keep barking. That's all they keep doing.
Number 7. The Beagle. Now, I used to think they were smart.
Yeah.
They're quite affectionate, but they're hard-headed, especially when they're compromised by a new and exciting smell. Then they don't give a darn what you want. They're going to go towards the smell. All right. Number 6. I know you love these dogs, Ed, the Pekingese.
No, another yappy dog.
They were bred to live in Chinese palaces. Did you know that?
Mm.
Yeah. So they're kind of snooty dogs. They're also real stupid. Number 5. Bloodhounds. I would have thought bloodhounds were
really
smart.
Yeah. Bloodhound, they got a specific thing they do, you know.
They have a great sense of smell, but they will only follow the smell if they choose to. They're not very keen on following commands.
So if you got something to do,
you tell him, go get that. No, not today. Yeah, follow the blood trail and he wanders away.
Not today.
Number 6, or 4. Chow Chows. Notorious for their big, fluffy lion mane, bluish-black little tongues, teddy bear-like faces, stupid as they can be. Number 3. A bulldog. These poor, thick-headed dogs, literally and figuratively, are about as smart as they look.
And they smell, too.
Yeah.
That's the one with their face all pushed up, right?
No, that's a pug. We're talking about
a bulldog, too.
Bulldog's got the... Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. Number 2. The Basenji.
I don't know what that is.
Universally known for being aloof. As a result, the dog may get slightly aggressive when approached by something or someone that it's unfamiliar with. They will also lose interest quickly, so make sure to have short training sessions when you get one, Ed, with a positive and rewarding atmosphere. By the way, did you know they don't bark? They don't bark. So
what do they do when a robber walks
in? That's exactly
what I was
thinking.
Tap you on the shoulder?
Yeah. Mm. Do they come over and say, do they blow in your face?
Mm.
Okay. What do you think, Ed, is the dumbest dog?
You know, I don't know. I'm betting it's a small dog. I'll go with a small dog.
Okay.
I don't know what.
It's the Afghan Hound.
Well, that's a big dog.
It is. Came up consistently as the world's dumbest dog. It's fascinating considering their regal appearance of flowing silky hair. Afghan hounds have the reputation for being too stubborn to train. Many will give you a blank expression.
So they got
when
all that,
given a command.
They got all that hair.
It's kind of, tell them to sit, they just look at you.
Kind of like calling a dumb blonde, you know,
exactly.
The dumb dog.
That's it. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. We will take Memorial Day off. Have a wonderful Memorial weekend. Remember what it's for, and remember freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. As questions swirl over the police response to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, CBS's